This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Speaking to his flock in the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, we join Archbishop Alexander Sample as he reflects upon our faith, culture, and life in the church on The Voice of the Shepherd. Joining Archbishop Sample is your host, Dina Marie Hale. And now, The Voice of the Shepherd.
Greetings and welcome to The Voice of the Shepherd. Today with His Excellency Bishop Peter Smith is joining us, as well as one of our staff here at the pastoral office. We'll be talking about being a generous giver. And, you know, we say this in the Mass, we lift up our hearts. We lift our hearts up to the Lord. So, Bishop Smith, as we come together, thanks for coming in and joining us on this episode of The Voice of the Shepherd.
Great to be with you, Dina Maria, and all those who are listening in, either directly or live stream or whatever other way you're listening into Mater Dei Radio. Thank you for supporting Catholic Radio Northwest.
Today, I wanted to bring in Alex Nelson. I know our Mater Dei Radio listeners have heard him on various recordings before. He serves as a stewardship and development officer here for the Archdiocese of Portland, really to take that vision of the Archbishop and to make it happen, you know, because you need resources, you need this ability to really implement vision that has really brings our church alive here in Western Oregon. So welcome, Alex. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dina Maria. I really appreciate being here.
I want to hear a little bit as we get started. We're going to talk a little bit about really how do we continue on this mission in Western Oregon. But what is the Office of Stewardship and Development in terms of the Archbishop's vision and what your role is in working with the Archdiocese and making that happen?
Sure. The Archdiocese Stewardship and Development Office is responsible for raising money for various programs that the Pastoral Center supports parishes, primarily through the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal, which is our spring annual appeal, and the fall appeal, which is the seminarian appeal. So our office organizes and quarterbacks both of those appeals, and then we do quite a bit of individual hands-on work with different parishes throughout the diocese when they have projects that need to be funded.
So it is springtime. I mean, the Lenten season is that spiritual spring renewal. So the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal will be kicking off in the season of Easter, really, in the middle of April. So Bishop Smith, this appeal and this, you know, the resources and how we serve the church, it's changed a little bit since the beginning of Peter and Paul and all the apostles in the early church. But there's a commonality of how we approach mission, how we approach service, how we approach sharing the gospel message. Give us a sense of how we do that in Western Oregon.
Well, one of the thing that is common everywhere the Archbishop and I go is we hear people come out sometimes with great ideas. We should do this or we should do that. And the Archbishop's standard response is, I'd love to do all these things, but I don't have the money. It takes money to make these things happen. And we, unlike some entities, we can't print our own money.
Right.
And so we have to rely on contributions from the faithful to be able to do that. So this is an issue for us. We have to be careful with our funds so that we get the best possible use of them and use them to support the work and the mission of the church. So that's where the money's come from. And the old expression says, an army marches on its stomach. I think it was Napoleon who said that, if not. But whoever said it, it conveys a very important truth. For the greater mission, there's some very, very practical, necessary, everyday things that need to happen. And so to provide the services that the Archbishop wishes to provide for the people of the Archdiocese of Portland, we have to have the means to be able to provide those services. You know, so if we want to hire people to do a particular mission or take care of a particular need, we have to be able to pay them a just and living wage. So where does that money come from? So this is one of the reasons why the Archdiocese, this is one of the ways we fund the particular mission and the priorities of the church as established by the archbishop and his leadership, both among the priests and among the archdiocese and pastoral council and the laity and so on. Those are the priorities, and so we need the means to fund and resource that. So that's what the annual appeal is. That's one of the ways that we do that. And it's a very important work within the archdiocese. And there's also a whole variety of other reasons why they're important that perhaps we can get into later.
So, Alex, when we're talking about these different ministries, and particularly for this springtime appeal, what are some of those ministries, what are some of those branches that those resources will begin to fund and
That's
continue
a great,
to fund?
Great question. Currently, there are six categories that we track through the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal. Those are parish support, vocations, seminarian support, religious education, retired priests, and then, of course, supporting the staff of this building. That is over $5 million in annual costs, which is very significant because every single dollar that we spend, as Bishop Peter mentioned, goes directly to support the people who are providing those services and the parishes themselves who engage in those services. It's hugely, hugely important. One that we like to refer to is marriage and family life. As you know, we spend a tremendous amount of time with new couples who are engaged to be married, and that takes money. We have to support those programs at each parish who runs a marriage counseling or a marriage prep course. So just one great example of parish support.
And I think, Bishop Smith, sometimes we get caught up in my parish, my All Saints parish, but we belong, and I think Archbishop always says it so beautifully, this is the local church. We're a large body that's all one church.
Dina Marie, you've hit the nail on the head right there, because when we ask people, if you ask your local Catholics, they say, what's the local church? And they'll say, my parish, you know, All Saints or St. Rose or whatever it is, that's my parish. But the local church, as the church understands it, the local church is the bishops surrounded by the priests, deacons, religious, and faithful in a particular diocese or place. So our local church here is the Archdiocese of Portland, and it is large, and so we have individual parishes and missions where people live and attend, and that's where, in a very local level, they live out their faith in that situation. But we're all part of a larger entity. And that's something that sort of fades into the background often. From time to time, we have reminders of that. The ACA is one. Another one will be that something that people have just gone through, which is the rite of sending and the rite of election.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reminder that we're part of something bigger within the Archdiocese of Portland. So that's the local church. And while we give our contributions to our local parish or mission, there's also a sense that we also need to contribute to the wider church within this local church, the Archdiocese of Portland, because as the larger archdiocese is blessed, so we're able to bless and provide services and support to so many parishes and missions, which is a lot of what we do out of the pastoral center.
Absolutely. I mean, from Astoria to Brookings, and then you go all along the I-5 corridor, small churches, big. We're all part of the same family, and we all want to have those resources. And Alex, I think as you're talking about all the things that come out of this office, the Pastoral Center, they're touching wide and far to minister to those people.
I get an opportunity to travel once in a while and visit parishes. I was just in Cottage Grove last week, visiting with Father Boyle, and it's such a blessing to see how each of the parishes engage in the mission of the church, not just through the sacraments and through daily Mass or weekly Mass, but just the day-to-day interactions that parishioners have with their parishes and their priests and their staff. It's a huge blessing for us to be a support for each and every one of those churches because they're so individualized. They care so much about their parish and their parishioners. It's just amazing to see what they do, and I'm very, very blessed to be able to see that firsthand.
Yeah. I love the phrase in the scriptures, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. And that generosity, we learn about it, I guess, tithing or sacrifice in the Lenten season. We certainly don't need to end at the Lenten season with that sense. But give us a sense, Bishop Smith, of the idea of tithing, of giving, of offering our first fruits to our parish, but to the larger local church.
Certainly. It's the notion of tithing is an Old Testament term. And many of our Protestant brothers and sisters and their churches are very strong about tithing. So tithing means you give 10%. But the Catholic approach is, if you want to do that, that's wonderful. We'll be very glad. But the reality is that amongst pretty much all churches, Christian churches, the Catholics are number one in giving the least to their church. Sorry to have to say that, but it really is true. We as Catholics are not very, not as generous as so many other Christians are. And part of it is the way we approach. We say we don't tithe because, in a sense, tithing means, okay, I'm going to pay my tax and then the rest is mine. And I get to do with it what I want. But our approach is actually no. All the money and resources we have are actually the Lord's. And we can say, well, but I worked hard for that. And the response to that is, okay, and who gave you those gifts, talents, and abilities? Sure, you studied. Sure, you did this. But that innate gift, talent, and ability you have or whatever, God's blessing is there. So our approach is all of this is the Lord's, and we leave it up to the individual who we hope and encourage in faith to prayerfully and reasonably discern what they want to contribute to the work of the church, and both on in their parish level or on a wider level. And both of those are necessary because so often we spend money or make sacrifice on a thing that we love particularly, like our family and so on. But what about others that are less fortunate? We're quite often are willing to give money to help a worthy cause. Well, what about the work of the church outside of the particular parish, and what about the work of the church that may come back to bless the parish? Sometimes we have a test. Well, what have you done for me? Well, that's the political approach, where it says, what have you done for me lately? It's like, but the you know, in the church we see that too. The people of Israel coming out of Egypt, Moses has just led them through the Exodus and out, and they're free of slavery. And before you know it, it's like, you know, they're berating Moses for having led them into this wretched place where they have this wretched food and all the rest. You know, how quickly we forget. And we also forget that we can give now and not necessarily see an immediate direct response. But in the greatest scheme of things, that all comes back to bless you. I remember many years ago, my spiritual director said to me, God has been generous to you. Be generous in return. And however that looks in your life, with your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever it is, God has blessed us, and we should always be generous in return. Now, we don't want to be reckless with that unless God has made that very clear to you. We want to be prayerful and prudent about it, but there's also a point in which we have to recognize that we've been blessed and we should bless.
Absolutely. Bishop Smith with us today, as well as Alex Nelson, Stewardship and Development Officer for the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon with the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal. And Alex, I'm just thinking about, you mentioned seminarians, you mentioned all of the parish ministries, retired clergy, our schools. I mean, we've got sacramental life, we've got education and faith formation, we've got new people coming into the church from other faith traditions. There's a lot going on that this request for support will help serve. Can you tell us some stories or just some things in which the funding is really necessary and it helps the whole body of Christ?
Absolutely. We spend a lot of time in the Catholic faith educating our priests and taking care of our retired priests. It's incredibly important that we continue to reach out to young men who are called to the priesthood. We do an excellent job in this diocese of reaching out to young men, and the Lord does his work and absolutely inspires these men to be the best that they can possibly be in service to his commands. And we do the same for our retired priests. We are blessed with amazing, amazing priests who have reached that senior status that we talk about, and we take really, really, really good care of them here. And of course, they give even after they've retired. They come back and they fill in and do weddings and funerals and fill in for priests who are on vacation or what have you, or in training classes. And we do an excellent job of integrating those retired priests into our daily work at the churches. Bishop Steiner is a great example. He was a speaker and did the opening prayer for our Life Gala a couple of weeks ago, and just did an amazing job. And if you've ever spent any time with Bishop Steiner, he's just a magnet for just a warm feeling of the Holy Spirit just permeating from him, and it affects everyone. And of course, many, many of our retired priests have that same really warm, genuineness to them when they come and fill in at different parishes. So I believe it's almost 20% of the money that we raise through the ACA goes to support our retired priests, which is very, very significant.
Yeah. And it's one mission, you know, it comes from the heart of the Lord. I mean, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, Bishop Smith, as you, Archbishop Sample, are here to take care of the church in Western Oregon. Explain a little bit about that mission and that vision and how we really need to have this business of funding, sacrifice, resources, the work of the people to help make that a reality.
Well, the mission of the church is the proclamation of the gospel in its very basic form. So we proclaim the gospel and we extend that. Now, we have a lot of things in place here, but we need to continue to proclaim the gospel. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the things where we see that is every year we have the rite of election. So in different parishes and missions, people will respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit or whatever else other reason they have. But it will be ultimately, I think, the prompting of the Lord to begin the journey to look at becoming Catholic. And so we begin that, what used to be called the RCIA, it's now the OCIA, but it's the same process that we come through. And at the first Sunday of Lent, we have the rite of sending in our parishes and then rites of election where the people, the catechumens and candidates are received and acknowledged. And so we have, I think, 6 or 7 of those that happen. The Archbishop loves to go downstate, so he does the ones downstate. I do the ones at the cathedral, and then he comes back on Sunday night and does one at the cathedral. And this year, we've had a huge year. Last year, I think we were about 740 people that we knew of. This year, it's about 980 at last count, and we keep finding a few extras here or there. So we could have close to 1,000 people joining the Catholic Church this Easter, which is a wonderful blessing. So there's a sense where people see the larger church and you come together, say at the cathedral or wherever else, with all these people. And this is part of the mission of the church. There's a concrete, tangible thing. But the mission of the church is also extended on a local level. So it's the work of the archdiocese supporting the parishes, which continue their life and faith and the particular outreaches they have in the different parishes that the Holy Spirit has led them to over these years. So it all works together, but we have to have the means to do that. And we don't have those means unless and as a result of people's generosity over the years. And so I would encourage people prayerfully, reasonably consider when the time comes how the Lord wants you to support your parish and to support the archdiocese and the larger church in Western Oregon.
And Bishop Smith, I think, and Alex, I'm going to have you just follow up on this. When people, typically what we've been able to do is share a message from Archbishop Sample as this appeal and this launch of the springtime appeal comes out. And he usually highlights some particular ministries that have been going on thanks to the generosity. But when people are sitting there in the pews, I guess to allow our hands to let go of what isn't really ours, but to give back and to know that this is something that's going to be given back to my family, to be used to my spiritual father, really, to be able to to be able to share with those ministries that we need. So when that ask comes, Bishop Smith, what do you hope will be the really response from our listeners?
Overall, an openness to hearing the message and then praying and reflecting and see how the Lord prompts you to respond to that as the individual hearing that message. And so in what way can we support this work? And as I said earlier on, God has been very generous to us. We may think we're in a tough climate or a tough situation and we have to tighten our belts and so on, but we're pretty blessed compared to a lot of other people in the world. I mean, right now everyone's sort of thinking about what's going on in Haiti and armed gangs ruling, and it's like warlords and so on, and poor people suffering, and how do they get basic needs met? Or, you know, churches in the third world, like I was just recently in South Africa, and when I was pastor at St. Rose, we had more resources and means available to us and to the people of the parish than the cathedral does of my archdiocese back in South Africa. So it's a matter of perspective, and as I said, we can't serve. We need the resources to be able to serve. We can't just make money happen. We can't make these resources happen. It's not just money either. It's people's time. It's people's experience that they contribute, and all these things, money as well. But those are the things that we really need, and I'm sure every one of us can think of our parishes and missions or particular ministries of the church where volunteers are the backbone of this, and they really reflect Christ at work in his people in the church. So I would encourage people, when you hear the request, be open and prayerfully, reflectively consider what God might be asking you to do. And it may be surprising, but at least be open and pray and ask the Lord rather than say, this is all I'm going to do, or I know I'm not going to do anything, or I'll just do what I did before. Because God is a God full of surprises, and who knows what he's going to do in our lives and how he's going to bless us. But we're blessed, so let's respond to God's blessing to us and bless others in return.
Yeah. And Alex, just your message to people, because you have, I think, the great privilege to be able to move those resources out to where they're needed, and you see the generosity of people and know that that's going to bless so many others.
Well, and I'm very fortunate, Dina Marie, because I'm a fairly new Catholic. I'm a convert as of 2021, so I went through the entire OCA, Proctor St. Patrick's, and I went to the cathedral, and Bishop Smith was there during my rite of election. It was just an absolutely beautiful process. So being a new Catholic and being on fire for the Lord and being in this position, I get to see those things every single day. And I can tell you how tangible that is and how much the Holy Spirit moves in your life if you are open to his message, not only with giving, but also, as Bishop Smith said, with volunteering and being a part of your parish. Every parish needs financial support. The diocese needs financial support, and every parish and the diocese needs volunteer support as well. So whatever you feel called to do through your prayer is an absolute blessing to us, and it's our job then to respond to the Lord's call.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's so exciting to hear somebody, and I came into the church now, it'll be 25 years of this Easter Vigil, and so to see how the Lord works, but we have to be willing to make that sacrifice. I mean, why do we come to know Jesus Christ? Because he sacrificed for us. We need that love and sacrifice to go back. And I think, Bishop Smith, that's the sacrifice. There is no sacrifice without love. And so when we give, it should be from a sense of love.
Yes. In fact, as you were speaking, what came to mind was, when we are married, or we've been married, or we have important relationships, we're willing to use our resources and means to foster that relationship. And that's a good thing. We should do that. To foster those relationships, and so you can say to your wife or your husband, you know, let's go out together tonight. We'll have somebody else take care of the kids. Let's just spend time together. So we're investing in something that's going to produce even more later on, because it strengthens and sustains that relationship. And it is true. We give to what we care about and what we love. And if our faith's important to our life, then that should also be something that we care about and that we love. So if we can't give financially or time-wise, the most important thing we can do in giving is prayer. You know, we can do all these other things, but above all, we should pray that the Lord of the harvest blesses the harvest, as Scripture reminds us, so that the Lord, you know, if we can't give or we don't have the resources. I had a parishioner in one parish do that, where they said, you know, I'm on very limited means and there's not much I can do, but I will pledge that I will pray 15 minutes a day for the good of the parish. It was a wonderful thing, and I'm quite sure there were all kinds of things that happened in the parish that I'll only know about when I stand before the Lord for my final judgment, that this is what the Lord brought about partly because of the prayers of these good and faithful people.
Right.
So those are other ways in which we can support the work of the church in Western Oregon, particularly because we're in a culture in some of our larger cities here that is at best ambivalent to the faith and at sometimes outright hostile. We just got graffitied all over our building here again by people who do not like us as Catholics. So it's a reminder to us of the world that we live in and how we need to proclaim the good news.
Right. Well, and I want to direct our listeners to the website. So, Alex, for people, you're going to be able to give at your own local parish, but other ways people can give to the Archbishop's appeal.
Sure. The website is JesusChangesEverything.church, which is great. And then the giving.archdpdx.org is the general website for stewardship and development. Lots and lots of great information there. And if you work for a parish, reach out to me because we have specific parish resources that are available online as well.
Okay. Archdpdx.org is the main hub, and then you can go right there. And I really encourage you with this springtime, this renewal in the church, boy, continue to give, because the more we give, I think the more that we do receive. There's something about that. The Lord just wants to see us let go, because that means I've let go and let an opportunity for the Lord to bless me in my life, and that I can be a blessing to others. Bishop Smith, I'm always grateful to have you here with us on The Voice of the Shepherd. Would you help us close with your prayer and blessing?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you give us in this life of so many different kinds and ways, only some of which we are aware. Lord, we ask you to help us be grateful to your generosity to us. And at the same time, Lord, we also ask you to enliven our hearts that we too can respond with generosity to you and to your church. And may Almighty God bless us all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And we want to thank you for joining us today on this edition of The Voice of the Shepherd. For Bishop Peter Smith, I'm Dina Marie Hale. Until our next encounter, may God be with you.
You've been listening to The Voice of the Shepherd with Archbishop Alexander Sample, a production of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. To subscribe to this podcast and access to all of our past shows, visit materdeiradio.com. Please email your comments and questions for the show to info@archdpdx.org. Learn more about the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon online at archdpdx.org. Peace be with you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.